It's 6:30. It's your Monday evening. It's the Radio City Legends. Graham Sharp's in the studio. John Aldridge here as well. I'm Steve Hothersall, and we've got a full hour of your calls. 01514720967. Don't try and substitute one of our boys because they won't come off the pitch. Let's see. Would they? Would they have ever gone that far? Kepa in the Carling Cup final. No, I'm not coming off, boss. I don't do that.
I found it hard to get on the pitch in the World Cup in 94, but not to be brought off, Steve.
Is that the ultimate show of disrespect? Looking at your manager and saying, I'm not going to walk to you and I'm not going to come off, despite you telling
Steve,
me that I need it. Being replaced.
I watched it and at the time I thought, wow. I'm not having this. This is possibly the worst it can get.
Were you embarrassed? I was embarrassed watching
but I'm
it.
I'm thinking this is the end for Sarri. He's under extreme pressure. This is the end. But the more and more I look at it and I'm thinking, and I know he came out afterwards and it was a bit, I don't know, staged for the cameras a little bit, if there was a misunderstanding. But I don't know whether Sarri had to come out and say, was he injured and that's why I was taking him off? Mm. Or did he want to put Caballero on, who's got a good record of saving penalties in that competition? We just don't know what the situation is.
And knows all the Manchester City players, so it would be an obvious choice, wouldn't it?
From where I looked, the first thing I saw, I thought, no, so disrespectful. So disrespectful. And he was looking for help on the bench, the manager. Mm. And the other ones were like, ah, no, listen, not having anything to do with it.
Well, Zola wasn't giving him much help, was he?
Neither was other boys.
He wants the job, doesn't he?
You've played with some big characters. But would any of them ever go against the grain like that and challenge the manager?
Can't. No, you can't. Nah, to be fair, I didn't see. I was just talking to Sharpie about it. I think it makes sense. It would make sense to put Caballero on because we've seen him against Liverpool a few years ago when he saved three penalties, didn't he? You know, he knows their play psychologically. You know, it could be an edge to Chelsea. Mm-hmm. But I didn't see what happened. But obviously, it's quite remarkable when you're there what's happened. And the manager was walking off, realised he has to be at the side, and then he's gone back. Lost the plot a little bit, hasn't he, in the melee. So.
But I think the thing is as well, to be fair to the manager, he's seen his goalkeeper go down two or three times. So he's thinking, you ain't fit.
With apparent cramp. How'd you get cramp as a goalie?
But he's gone down and the trainer's been on two or three. So he's thinking to himself, I want to win the cup here. And I've got my best choice. My best chance here is he's not fully fit to face a penalty, so he's coming off. So if that's the way he said it, and the guys went against him, and I know they tried to smooth it afterwards, but that ain't right. You know, that ain't right. If the keeper went down twice and there's an injury problem there, the manager was well within his right to say, get him off and get a fully fit goalkeeper on. So I thought the goalkeeper was wrong.
It's interesting, if you look at the laws as they currently stand, I'm looking at a piece written by Peter Walton, the former Premier League referee, who reffed 500 games, and he says he felt for John Moss because the law doesn't allow John Moss to actually deal with the situation. Law 3 clearly states that the referee must be informed before any substitution is made. But if a player who is to be replaced refuses to leave the field, then play continues and there's nothing the referee can do. Mm. Well, that's surely wrong, isn't it? The ref should be in charge of the pitch. And when a manager says, I want to change someone, the referee should say, you, off. That would make sense, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But then I want to bring something else up. I thought cup finals were given to referees who were good. And it was a reward.
How's he got that?
Well,
that's right. It should be on, you know, on your form. Yeah. You know, cup finals and semi finals, big games, on current form. You know, there's not many that get in there. You know, Oliver. I think Oliver's the probably the best one out of the lot. But Sharpie's right. It should be for he's Moss. He's useless.
Yeah, but even this wasn't his fault, was it?
No. We're not saying that. We're not saying that. But you know, he's not the best. Kind of
No. But once again, this weekend we're talking about referees.
Who's got the one? Who's got the Derby ones? You know, no,
not been announced yet.
Okay.
You've got Kevin Friend tomorrow night for Cardiff against Everton.
He was bad for us before.
Yeah, he's nobody's friend, is he, Kevin Friend?
He's an odd one.
We've got. I think the Derby's at Anthony Taylor.
Has it been announced? Yeah. Been released?
Is it? Not really.
No. Is he another Manchester United?
I don't know.
It's not out yet.
No. It should be Dean. He should be Dean. He
no!
Be. Yeah.
Did you see him at the weekend?
He's a Tranmere fan. He's all right.
No, yeah. Did you see
what,
him at
Mike
the weekend?
What, Mike Dean for the derby?
Yeah, he should, shouldn't he?
Mike,
no
done, Mike Dean done Liverpool a favour.
Hmm. When?
Against Burnley.
Yeah, he had a super game. I watched it.
just put a line under Kepa. Should he be massively fined now, or the fact that he cost 71 million, does it mean he's more important than the manager? How does that situation work itself out behind the scenes?
How does that club work?
Well, who makes the decision? Abramovich is not even in the country, you know. Whatever, who makes the decision? I don't know. It's...
John, you wouldn't choose Kepa for the next match, would you? If you were the manager.
If he would have gone against you, your wishes, not a chance.
What would you have done to him?
I'd have run on the pitch and dragged him off, from what I've heard, and get off. No, because he's making a show of the manager. It's disobeying, your rules and regulations of what you go for.
I looked at the Chelsea team yesterday and I looked at the whole thing and I thought, wow, they are in turmoil for me. Whether it's coming from the manager and there's an issue between the players and the manager or upstairs or whatever, but it looked a mess. It looked, just didn't look like a Chelsea team or anything. Considering the players they've got, they played Hazard as a false nine, having signed, the players that they have. And Higuain was on the bench alongside Giroud, and he didn't play that way. And I just thought it looked like a club, from where it's been. I'm not sure if they've got, and Guardiola's it will pop at them as well in terms of when he was asked would he have went there, and he went no, because they haven't got a plan. They sack their managers every 18 months, 2 years or whatever, so he said no, I wouldn't go there, says, because that's not right, and he's a big Palace addy, so
it's in free fall, isn't it?
I think
I'll tell you what, I hope so. Do you remember when we went there and all them plastic flags were out for that semi-final? How ridiculous.
Remember that horrible fan next to us trying to beat you up at one stage?
Yeah, but he was never going to do that stage, was he?
By the way, Martin Atkinson is the referee for the derby at the weekend. So that suits you both, doesn't it? You're both on the same
He just... No. Anyway, it is what it is.
All right.
Hopefully he'll be sensible and don't dish the cards out early on or whatever.
Let's go from one John Aldridge groan to talk about the draw with Manchester United.
Do we have nothing to talk about? It was just one of the worst Liverpool-Man United games, especially with the expectations. And then obviously they lose three players and Rashford's, 70-80% fit, and I'm thinking... Go on, even half time. We had no conviction. Do you know what summed us up? The first free kick we had, when Firmino jumped out of the tackle with the goalkeeper.
Oh, in the first few minutes,
He was 60-40 in his favour, and he jumped out. And anyway, we got the free kick, and
that was the indirect one, wasn't it?
Oh dear me!
Yeah,
you never stop when it's indirect from 12 yards, 13. You never stop a roller to someone to stop a ball, in it. You just don't. You don't even do that from outside the box now. It's just, I don't know. Because they've probably never, ever practised being in that situation. And it was spur of the moment. It was one awful free kick. You just smash it. If that's Steve Gerrard, he'd take the moment himself and then he'd smash it or whatever, get a deflection, roll it to the edge of the box, someone have a smash. And then Salah gets one. Them two summed us up. There was no conviction in our forward play. There's no cohesion between the midfield and the front three. And Salah had his worst game he's ever had for the club. Firmino came off. Mané was trying hard, to be quite honest. And then you put Daniel Sturridge on, in all due respect. He's not played for ages. He's not played 70, 80 minutes for ages.
Well, he's not scored since September.
He was ineffective. Origi goes on. Now, with all due respect, he's not going to be at the club. It shows you our bench, like City send Sané on or Jesus or the. With all due respect to them lads, we need someone to come on and give us something off the bench. And they stuck in there and they got 11 men behind the ball. They put Sanchez on, who was playing like a left wing back, to stop Salah and all that. So they showed us enormous respect. We know that, but if you're going to win the league, you have to break them down. You have to just walk away with a scrappy 1-0 win, and we just didn't. We just didn't look like scoring. In fact, I thought that they were going to nick it, at one time, because they looked more likely to. So that was really disappointing. And we've lost that cohesion since, I reckon, New Year. We've not looked like the team that we were up to the new year, whether the two breaks have not helped us. We went to Dubai and Tenerife. We just look It's
like Liverpool can't snap out of a certain level of play on which they're operating at the moment.
We're just not. It's too slow to build up. There's a problem between the midfield and the front three, because they're not getting a lot of chances, to be fair. But when they're getting opportunities themselves, they're squandering things, you know, as well. You know, the lack of goals between them since New Year. With obviously Bournemouth, you know, we've done well there, but they were awful. They'd lost the 10 games in the bounce or whatever it was away from home. But it's worrying. And tell you what, Watford will be a really hard game for us. If we go and we don't do the right thing and the forwards don't click, we could come unstuck against Watford. I'm telling you, at this moment in time, I'm not filled with optimism.
Well, what did you think about the performance, Sharpie?
I was really looking forward to the game. I think the game became fragmented with all the substitutions in the first half. It was stop-start, you know, no flow in it. But I think the fact that when was the last time you could say that Liverpool never really had a good, decent effort and goal?
No.
People will say the Sturridge shot when he came on, he shot from 45 yards, whatever kind of thing. Never really tested the goalkeeper. There's not many games you can say that.
That was the only shot, wasn't it, in the game?
I think that's for Liverpool, and you've been commenting over the weeks about, you know, the threat, the front three not being there kind of thing. I just thought it was bitty. It was a bitty performance from Liverpool.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think there was anybody that was outstanding and took the game by the scruff of the neck and said, as John says, you know, that was an ideal opportunity, especially when you see them dropping like nine pins and you're thinking, wow, here's
absolutely
another. And Rashford not fit and really wanting to come off as well, and you're thinking, hold on a minute. But no, I've always said that I think the weak link at United is Ashley Young. I think if you can get after him at all. The boy, Luke Shaw, another, won his battle.
Yeah, he played well, didn't he?
Yeah, he won his battle, and you're thinking, you know, Liverpool didn't win enough battles for me.
Yeah, that's not a good point.
All through the game, and he heard Klopp's words afterwards. He said to Solskjaer.
Yeah. Said it was a rubbish game.
Yeah, exactly.
He's right, wasn't he? But you look, it's not the only game. You go back and I keep on saying, Man City, we've had four opportunities to take this league in our grasp. Man City, it was a bit of a freebie. You know, we were 7 points ahead. You know, we lost that opportunity. Leicester at home, another opportunity, 1-1. We lost it. West Ham United, another great opportunity. Yeah. We were poor, really poor. Drew again, lucky not to lose. And then you go Man United, who lose all these players. You can't, if you're going to win the Premier League, you can't waste them. We had four opportunities, Steve. Four, not one, two, but four. And whether we've bottled it or what, I don't know. That's the players themselves or Jurgen themselves. But you can't do that when you've got an opportunity. You have to take it and put pressure back on Man City. That's just, they've had it easy. We've slipped up four times now. And we keep on doing it. We put the next three games, we have to win. We've got two home games against tough team. Burnley's having a great run, by the way, as is Watford. And Everton, with all due respect, they've had nothing, the fans have had nothing to smile about all season. It's the biggest game of the season for them. Them three games, Flipper, will make or break our title chart.
Absolutely massive. Right, let's take a couple of calls on this one. John's obviously very passionate at the moment. 0151 472 0967.
Give him a tea, Christian.
Let's start on that Liverpool front with Grizz. Evening, Grizz.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Hello. Are we on, Steve? Yeah.
Yeah, we're on. Okay. We're on. Can you hear them? Hang on, let me turn you up. There we go.
That's better,
you
got it. Yeah. That's
Grizz,
better.
Go on. What's your feeling on the game?
Oh, just a yo-yo of emotions, to be honest with you. You know, during the week, I convinced myself and the lads that I was talking to sort of that, you know, a point away at Old Trafford will be okay. It won't be a problem. You know, if we get a point, Old Trafford will take it and we'll go on. But the way, I mean, I'm sure you guys have been discussing the way the game went and panned out. You know, the way the game panned out, just a feeling of, still, even this morning, a feeling of 2 points lost rather than a point gained, if you know what I mean. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And even though I've slept on it, you know, now I'm coming to terms with it again, sort of back to the feeling of, right, well, you know, it's never a good ground for us. Even in our heydays when we were, you know, going for the league again, you know, we hardly ever won there. You know, we usually only won there when we were fighting for like sort of third and fourth. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's never been a good hunting ground for us. So, you know, mixed emotions. Mixed emotions at the moment.
Yeah, the exception of the one old draw when we knocked them out of Europe, which was fantastic, I have to say. But you're right, you know, when you get the opportunity, especially when you're talking about them being fragmented, you know, with the three lads going off before half time. I know it stopped started the game, but the second half, you have to grasp it, you know, and look to engineer chances, and we just didn't. We didn't look like if we were still playing now, we wouldn't have scored, you know. We didn't really create. And the final ball again was a little bit disappointing at times, but it was just one of those games you want to forget. You go to Man United, you get a point. Yeah, it's always a decent result. And before the game, I'll tell you the truth, I'd have accepted the draw, but in the manner which we drew it, you know, not showing any real conviction that we wanted to win the game was disappointing.
My personal opinion was, John, a lot of people were fuming over the selection, sort of in terms of, you know, James Milner playing at right back. Mm-hmm. And sort of the three midfielders that were, you know, some have leveled accusations of being very similar. Do you know what I mean? Like,
It's fair comment, isn't it? Yeah, it's fair comment, yeah.
But I didn't have too much of an issue with the selection because, look, I think Klopp went there and thought rejuvenated United. Packed out crowd, and you could see the atmosphere was cracking. You've got to admit, that's the best atmosphere they've had there for like years.
I think it's the only time I've ever seen it, because when I've been there, it's like a library, to be quite honest.
Exactly. So Klopp had this game plan where we were going to go there and sort of the first 30 minutes totally control the game. And that's the team he picked. And we did do that, to be fair. So the selection worked. Where the frustration lies, as you said as well, is after seeing it being decimated with injuries, right? Falling. And then that second half is where we, or champions, elect sense blood. And that's where we should have changed game plan, changed tactics, but nothing changed, John.
Chris, I'm with you there, because at half-time I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, Milner's been booked, you know, and he dives in a little bit, James, and all that. And I'm looking at the right back and Rashford's, you know, injured. I'm thinking, put Trent on second half. Just put Trent on second half and get a bit more width, a bit more pace going forward, and see if he can. And I don't know if he might have picked something up or whatever, or but he shouldn't have done the bench if that's the case. But for me, that made sense, that substitution. But Jürgen didn't do it for some reason. Maybe the experience. He wanted to keep with the experience. The midfield, you're right. When I seen the midfield, I thought, well, yeah, okay, it's Man United. And you're right, Man United have been doing really well of late, you know, to solidify things with the three lads in there. You know, and I thought the three lads played okay, especially for being Johan Henderson in particular. You know, but having them three there sometimes, it stops, you know, they're not a Keita or a Shaqiri where they can perhaps give the forwards a little bit more service than what they could do. But they sat in the midfield and just did a defensive job.
Well, there's a lot of, and rightly so, you know, Mane and Salah, you know, bore the brunt of sort of criticism where they decided to have the crappiest game of the year. Do you know what I mean? But that can happen. But it shouldn't only be, the criticism only shouldn't only be levied at them, because, as you said, the midfielders, I thought, done okay, just like you said. But it was so easy for them, they could have done more than okay. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, that was the easiest point we'll ever get at Old Trafford. It was pretty easy for us. The midfielders, in my opinion, could have done so much more. You know, there was too much gap between sort of the forwards and the midfield. We were far too cautious throughout. And
in that second fair comments. No, it's fair comments. Yeah, you're right.
You know, they had Lukaku and Sanchez essentially playing wing-backs.
Yep, it's right, you know, right, absolutely, spot on, yeah.
And that was the chance, as you say, to bring on Trent, Robbo,
Well, what he had to do second half, didn't he? Because of Rashford, he had to play him down the middle and let him hobble away through the game. And you're right, Sanchez played the wing back, and Lukaku played wing back. You know,
he's never ran so much in his life.
What's happened to Romelu Lukaku? Shadow of the man that he was.
Let me tell you, he gave the two best passes of the game. The one that Smalling should
have. You thought he had a good game?
No, but I'm just saying he had the two best. Whatever you said, we've always said he was never been a player that you see 90 minutes, but he had the two best opportunities. A great ball in for the ball round it where Alisson kept on the game. Yeah. And also the one he came in the back post and Smalling should have scored when he didn't attack the ball. So For all he's plodded, he had to work harder than he's ever done in his life. You could see it. He was breathing through his, you know what.
He had a parachute.
Chris, I thought you said you'd come to terms with the game. you don't sound like it, Chris.
I like your passion, mate, but you speak a lot of sense as well.
No, but you know when you go through the events, right? When you start going through the events, the frustration sort of comes back, doesn't it?
Oh,
and you think to yourself, they ended up, look, with all due respect to, I can't even say his name, McTominay?
Yeah.
Right? And Pereira in midfield. They ended up with McTominay and Pereira in central midfield and wing-backs of Sanchez and Lukaku and poor Rashford up front who couldn't move. We could have easily taken off a defender. We could have easily taken off Matip and played Fabinho slotting alongside Van Dijk and bring on Keita as an extra midfielder who's going to sort of break the lines. There was no one. We played in a straight three in midfield, sort of. You know, horizontal three. There was no one getting in those, you know, the spaces where... And we should have learned. The PSG game should have taught us that's exactly where PSG hurt Man United in the previous week, in those spaces. I just think
you're lucky that they had all those injuries or they would have battered you.
Oh, God. Chris, we've got to move on, but you made some great...
Well, Chris, good call, mate. No, it was a good call, that. Yeah, good call.
Sounds like John Aldridge after a heavy defeat.
No, he's spot on. I think Chris is indirectly blaming Jürgen there, isn't he? And, you know, because of his tactical decisions. But sometimes the manager sees it a different way than the fans.
Exactly. Right, we've got to take a break. We'll take an Everton caller next.
No, you're all right.
It's 10 to 7.
Keep morning.
Radio City Legends with Graeme Sharp and John Aldridge. It's 5 to 7. John Aldridge, Graeme Sharp. I'm Steve Hovers. So we'll take more of your calls in a moment or two. Just a quick quiz question for the boys. So David De Gea joined the 100 Club yesterday. 100 Premier League clean sheets. Who's got more than him? Go on, give me some names. Do you think have got more Premier
obviously
League clean
from the
sheets?
From the past.
In the Premiership
in the Premier League.
Joe Hart.
Joe Hart is above him, just above, 109.
Schmeichel.
Schmeichel's just above that. You're going in order as well, you 212.
How many more are there?
Who's got more than Peter Schmeichel?
Check's
the top man, 162.
Yeah.
The man just above Peter Schmeichel.
Hold on. Who was it? Seaman, though?
David Seaman, second in the list. So check. David Seaman's got 137. Yeah. You're missing two, and you should both know the answer to these.
Not Pepe Reina.
Pepe Reina is third with 134. And in fourth place...
Tim Howard.
Big bad, Tim that, Howard, 116. Premier League clean sheets.
Is that the quiz done now?
Yeah. No, we'll put your head a little bit later on. Let's take some more calls. 4720967. We can wake Sharpie up and talk about the Blues. With Matt. Evening, Matt.
Evening, Steve, you all right?
Yeah, hello, pal. What do you want to talk about?
I can't believe how high Tim Howard is on that list, by the way.
But remember, he played for Man United as well.
No. I was listening to Silva today in his press conference. I'm pleased that he's not getting carried away with the derby yet. I think, you know, I think Cardiff's a much more winnable game, but I think if he loses it tomorrow night, he's in a lot of trouble because I think... You know, that'll be four straight defeats. Could easily be five after Sunday.
But Matt, you've got to look at, you know, he's been unbeaten for the last 17 days, mate.
Two weekends, not ruined by
anything. I have to get that one in sharp. He's had a couple of digs there, pal.
No, I don't mind ever not playing at the moment anyway, John.
I know.
But no, I'd like to make some changes tomorrow. I think, you know, the Man City game the other week was a bit of a hollow victory, wasn't it, really? I think we played well without the results.
Mm. Mm. So what would you change tomorrow?
I don't know why you reverted back to the team you've been picking. Normally for Watford, I'd go back to the team that you played against Man City, I think. Maybe the odd change here or there. I think they're a very physical team, aren't they? I think that's what we've got to do.
Beat them in the air,
You've got to match them.
I heard them talking about he doesn't know whether Mina's going to be fit or not, and Jagielka's back, kind of thing. So obviously, the one thing that they'll give you, as you quite rightly said, an aerial threat, and they'll put balls in the box, long throws in the box. It's going back to playing like Wimbledon. So first and foremost, you've got to stand up to them. That's something that we haven't done to any team. We've looked vulnerable at set pieces. So Cardiff have done their homework as well, but I'd like to think that looking at the way Watford destroyed them, the fact a little bit of pace on the break, you know, I'd like to think that we can punish them as well. But as you quite rightly said, it's a game that you're looking at and you're thinking, you've got to win this. You know, okay, the results over the weekend, I would say, in general, went for us in terms of draws and defeats and people round about us. But I just think we've got to get back on. We've had 17 days off, as John says. We've got to get back on, you know, on track very, very soon with the derby coming up as well. So it's a big game for us tomorrow.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's one thing getting up for the derby, isn't it? It's another one getting up for...
Yeah.
You know, it's not a nice game. It's a card away on a Tuesday night.
Good
but,
point.
And, you know, they'll be up for it because they've still got a lot to play for. I think they've been beaten, they've been battered a few times this season, haven't they? And they've always seemed to come back from that. Yeah. So
I was going to say, Matt, particularly but... because they lost 5-1 on Friday night.
The confidence got to be hit big time there.
Yeah, they'd won two beforehand, which gave them a little bit of hope. And then, obviously, they thought they could win that one against Watford. So it's kind of dented them a little bit. But immaterial about them. Everton have got to get, you know, they're 17 days off. They've got to have been chopping at the bit to get back playing. You know, and you want to see a little bit of passion and aggression, you know, away from home. Dig in. John talked about it before. Dig in, roll your sleeves up, you know, want to go that extra mile to get a result. You know, we haven't seen that, you know, in many occasions this season. They need to get back to that. They need to be getting back to being a team that are difficult to beat and they're going to do something on the break. You know, at the moment, you're going into games and thinking they're leaderless, they're rudderless. You don't know what's going to happen. They need to be together as a team from now until the end of the season. If they're not, it's going to be a long, long wait to the end of the season. And they need, and I know people say about the relegation and the points total and everything else, I still think we're all right in that. But we need to get wins under a belt. And, you know, I still think that Cardiff is an ideal a fixture for us after 17 days off.
Being off like for basically 3 weeks, you know, it's given time to assess what's gone
like
past and what he's got to do forward. He changes, but he's worked on something within 3 weeks.
To think so, John.
Maybe formation, because it obviously hasn't worked what he's been doing. Maybe he's been time to reassess and say that season, that part of the season's gone out. Now let's see what we can do for the last third of the season. And we're looking at this and taking it into next year. Because the fans aren't happy. No. Well, no one's really happy, are they?
Nope.
Matt?
I think I agree with what Sharpie and Aldo were saying. I think, you know, there's... I just don't know where he goes from this week. If we lose these next two, I think he's got to... He's got to get a minimum of 4 points for me, I think.
Out of the two games?
Yeah.
Four from the because two?
Listen, I still don't think... I think between now and the end of the season will determine. You know, I still think that I've talked about it over the last few weeks about, you know, the job he's had to do and, you know, whilst I appreciate it, it's tough, he needs to get results. It's as simple as that. That's what you have to do as a manager. So, yeah, the pressure will be on him to get results.
Matt, thank you very much indeed. We're going to move on. It's Radio City Legends. So 17 days, he didn't take them away. He was asked about that in his press conference today. He said it was my decision. And,
well, I don't think it would have looked right. You know, if they listen, you know, usually you get taken away when you're doing well and, you know, it's a case of getting to... Listen, for me personally, it was great to always get away, a bit of sunshine on your back and everything else. But if you were on the run that Everton have been on, I think the fans would expect you to be at home in the training ground and working your socks off to try and get it. And I know you can say, and they'll be saying, well, why should you get a reward if the results aren't good? No, I think he's done the right thing by keeping them at home. You know, I think if you go to Dubai, you get all the you're opening yourself to criticism, especially when you're not doing well. So he's kept him at home, and I just hope and pray that, you know, he's done the right things, and we can see an improvement starting tomorrow.
Do you think he's worked on set plays, sharpie corners, or
John? Just before that, listen, this is the thing, and having spoken to some, they do it all the time. They're doing it all the time, and that's why my argument was always about the zonal marking was he can talk and teach and teach and teach and teach, but when you cross that white line, if the players are not up to it, not doing it, what do? You end up changing players. But players have to take responsibility. Just as I said to the last caller, they have to go out there tomorrow with the passion and the aggression and the desire and the will to win. If they haven't got that, which we haven't seen an awful lot of, you're going to struggle.
Let's shift to Liverpool. Our next caller is Paul, who wants to talk about the formations that we've seen in the side. Evening, Paul.
Good evening.
Hello, Paul.
How you, Graham? How you, John? You okay?
Hi, mate. All right, yeah.
Good. I was just been talking to, actually, in a little WhatsApp group with Grizz, so I don't think he's left me anything to say, to be honest. he talked about too many points, but we were talking about it in the group a few weeks back. We were talking about the Man City game and how it kind of took the wind out of us. Before we played Brighton away, we were playing that 4-2-3-1 system, and we were bringing Naby Keita out wide, or we were using Shaqiri out wide, and we were bringing Firmino to drop, and it would give us that little bit more of an attacking sense, and getting Salah to run through the channels, John.
Mm-hmm.
And since we've gone back to the 4-3-3 formation, it's kind of like dried us up a little bit. The teams we play against, they seem to like neurate that the width. I know Mane's been he's been coming inside at times, and Salah has been doing the same. But it just showed that the way the teams have been setting up, like Luke Shaw knew what to do. Every time he would come inside, Smalling would come across and block him out. And then even though Matic wasn't playing, I think McTominay did the same. As soon as like Salah was on the ball, they would close the space down on him, and they did the same with Mane. And that's what it kind of like thought, like, okay, these two teams like on yesterday didn't want to lose the game, and you could see that as Chris said, that there was a plan for us to keep hold of the ball and try and pick Man United off, which we've done in the past in games where in the past we've drew or we've been beaten by the lower teams, and we, as Chris said, we didn't take advantage of the situation Man United were in yesterday.
Yeah, no. One thing I pick up on, Paul, is what's saying, and I don't like to criticise Jürgen because I'm one of his biggest fans, but the one thing that he doesn't do is, like, we as players and managers, if things aren't quite going right, why doesn't Salah get utilised? Change wings. You and Mane, change wings. Yeah. You have a go at Young. You go and have a go at him because Shaw was getting the best of him. Do something different. Or Firmino comes off, go down the middle. Just things aren't working as well.
Yeah.
But Jürgen, maybe he doesn't like a plan B. He always sticks to plan A and plan A. You do your same thing. But for me, you've got to just try things when things aren't going well in the game. And we don't do that for some reason. He strictly keeps it the way it is. Very rarely, if any time he changes the system during the game. Now, yesterday was the ideal time to do that. Put Salah down the middle, you know.
Yeah.
I would have actually brought Shaqiri on and put him on the right and put Salah. But it doesn't matter now, it's hypothetical. But, you know, I think sometimes that needs to be addressed, you know, with the changing it during the play or maybe going back to with Firmino out this week now, I'd play Salah down the middle. I'd play without a shadow of a doubt, I'd play Salah down the middle, and I'd play Shaqiri on the right with Mane on the left personally. You know, hopefully goes that way, because I don't think at this moment Daniel Sturridge he's not had enough games, he doesn't look right. Origi, for me, no.
John,
no.
Why is Shaqiri dropped down the pecking order? First half of the season, he was the go-to man to change a game.
Yeah.
Now he's behind Divock Origi and Daniel Sturridge, it would seem.
Well, he was at the weekend. I did have to ask Jürgen that because I find that...
Does he not feel that way to you?
Maybe, because one thing when he's playing Shaqiri...
We don't see them every day. You don't see them every day. So what Klopp will be demanding every day performances... and training and everything else. And whilst I 100% agree with you, we're all making discussions about it, and we don't know what happens, you know, so it's not just on the games. And whilst we say, yeah, I think we should play him and all that kind of he could be awful in training. He could have problems that we don't know about kind of thing. So I think if Shaqiri was on top of his game and he was showing it every day, he'd get more game time.
Yeah, it's strange with managers nowadays because they go on training. A lot of them go on their training, Paul. Mm-hmm. You know, and if you're doing well in training, they play.
Yeah.
Hey, I know some players myself. I wasn't a great trainer. You know, I love the match game, getting the match and get your goals and get your playing. In training, you do your best, but you know, like sometimes, and there's loads of players like that, but they come alive on a Saturday. They come alive during the game. But unfortunately, sometimes a manager, like Choppy said, they demand to see it day in, day out.
Yeah.
Some players are not like that, you know. So I don't know. But for me, I think Shaqiri, he does link. The main thing for me, he does link up really well with Salah. And I think that'd be a plus point. you know, going into...
Going back to what you said before, John, when you were talking about Man City, you know, they had Sane and Mahrez and other players to bring on. With us, we know for a fact it's going to be Salah, Firmino, Mane every week. There's no one behind them to push them on.
Spot on.
And give them something to think about. There's not one in the squad. Lallana, Shaqiri, they're not... in that, they're not in their realm, they're not in their capability of what he can produce week in, week out.
It's funny, it's funny you're saying that, because I've done my echo column earlier on, and I said that because in our day, you know, Liverpool in the 60s, 70s, 80s, you'd always had someone pushing you in your position. You know, they won the Central League. Liverpool and Everton used to be first and second in the Central League season in, season out. And they used to have the players in making sure that you are at your best all the time, pushing you. Because if you don't play well or you get injured, you're out and they're in. Now, the three players there that we've got, Manny, Firmino, Salah, if they're fit, they play every game.
Guaranteed.
End of story, guaranteed. And that's one thing we haven't got underneath. You know, Lallana, he's gone off the ball big time, whatever reason, I don't know. Origi, now Sturridge, again, not playing enough. Shaqiri's in between midfield and the top, that's all we got. And Keita, you know, we need, and he knows that, and it should happen in the summer, we need strengthen up top big time, one or two. But that's right, you need someone to be banging on their door, you know, the forward door, push them, because if you don't score goals, you're out and he gets his opportunity.
Mm. Nice one, Paul. Some really good stuff. Thank you very much indeed. And just to finish off that point, and the reason I say Shaqiri is, if you look at the goals from midfield, he's got six in the league for Liverpool. But look at Liverpool's other midfielders. Wijnaldum's got one.
Yeah.
Fabinho's got one.
Yeah.
Milner's got three. Henderson hasn't scored.
Don't you think...
So actually, it's not been shared around the pitch.
But
the goal reliance is just on the front three, isn't it?
Don't you think Shaqiri's come to Liverpool with a big question mark?
Yeah, and he scored six goals.
He's done well when he's played, but what I'm saying is you don't see him off the field. So what I'm saying is, and more nowadays when coaches talk about stats and your running stats and how long you've trained and everything else, we don't know what he trains like or how he trains or if he trains well, if he doesn't.
No, I get that. But actually the goal stats back up his inclusion.
But that doesn't matter if he's not showing it.
Well, it does, because the other midfielders aren't scoring, are they?
If it was in our days, John said, he would be playing.
Yeah.
But he's not. The game has changed that much now, and he's got to make sure that he's... Listen, it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy, but that is what they go on.
Mm.
Whether your stats here or your stats here. The most important stats, we've always said, is goals. For and against, that's the only stat that counts, but not nowadays.
But the other thing, I'm just hitting on what you said there about the midfield scoring the goals and all that. How many times do you see Liverpool shooting from outside the 18-yard box? I'll tell you, very, very rarely. They try to walk the ball in an awful lot. And that's when you can get a deflection, a mad deflection, get a goal. We hardly shoot now outside the box from 30, 25 yards. They don't have a pop shot. They keep the ball swinging from side to side and delve it into them areas. Sometimes you've got to pick it up and have a pop like Steve Gerrard used to do. Henderson very rarely has a shot at goal. That's why he hasn't scored, because he's too busy trying to, you know, conduct the play. You know, Fabinho doesn't sort of get into the edge of the box an awful lot. Wijnaldum should score more, because he does make some decent runs into the box. But that's one of the reasons we hardly shoot from outside the box now.
Oh, let's chill. Have a game of pens, shall we? It's nothing like the League Cup final pens, but we'll do it with Aldo and Sharpie next. Right, let's do a penalty shootout of higher quality than the Carabao Cup one that we saw yesterday.
I don't know, the last one was a good one.
Tell you what wasn't good, Hazard's penalty.
Oh,
that should have been saved.
What?
Oh, sorry, not Hazard's. Hazard's
the Panenka.
Whose was the one that went under the body?
Yeah. Aguero's.
Aguero, that's what I'm thinking of, yeah.
Aguero's was Hazard's atrocious. Was brilliant.
Yeah. Oh, Hazard's was the chip, wasn't it? Yeah. Sterling's off the underside of the crossbar.
Sterling's was like on that soccer EM, wasn't it? Top Ben. Oh, brilliant.
Right, boys. We are on Graham Sharp 17, John Aldridge 20.
John first.
First question to John.
Number two, the music question.
Oh, is it?
No, it's not.
Oh, jeez.
Shuffled it around. Who did Manchester United...
Your favourite team?
No. Which team did Manchester United sign Ole Gunnar Solskjaer from? As a player. So which team did Manchester United sign Ole Gunnar Solskjaer from as a player?
You know it.
Yeah. Bayern Munich.
He's done me. Give me more time. He's just done me there. He's made me laugh.
Are they?
It's
Oslo.
Dead easy.
Oslo. I would have said Mulder.
Yeah, the was team that he's currently managing. Between managing Manchester United as well. Yeah, Mulder was the answer.
He came to Liverpool for trials when I was there.
Did he?
Yeah,
Liverpool fan?
He's a big Liverpool fan, yeah.
Sharpie?
I'll go five.
Number five. Who was in goal for Cardiff when they played Everton at Goodison Park earlier this season?
Yeah, the goalkeeper was in there. Was it?
You know.
Etheridge. Neil Etheridge. It's the same goalie, isn't it?
That is correct. Goalie, isn't it? John?
They haven't changed, have they?
I'll go number one.
I got one of those questions.
It wasn't a trick question,
No, it wasn't, because one of the quiz questions we had in this was name five Cardiff players.
and you wouldn't give me it because I couldn't give it
the first name.
John, number one, this is mystery voice time. Put your headphones on, have a little listen. Who are we listening to here?
I don't think he'll be there much longer.
Do you want to hear it again?
I don't think he'll be there much longer.
Okay.
Sounds like Michael Owen.
No, it's not Michael Owen. Oh, you said Michael Owen, yeah.
Sounds like Michael Owen.
I've only said that. Don't regret it. Guess.
As soon as I say the name, you'll go, oh.
Don't regret it.
Go on.
I don't know.
Oh, dear me.
Chris. Kirkland. It's obvious, isn't it?
Yeah, Kirk, yeah.
Sharpie.
Oh, it is now. We've got the answers in front of you. Four.
Just for the win, this
is our true or false round. George Washington's body was preserved in a barrel of whiskey for 32 years. Is this true or false, Sharpie?
Never heard of it. False.
George Washington's body. You've never heard of him?
No, I've never heard of that fact. So I'm saying it's false.
Business!
Sharpie's won this time round. We've got two questions left.
I'm not being funny. That's the in a barrel of whiskey. Who drank that whiskey when you pulled him out?
It was a bit of a stupid question.
It was. I haven't heard that stat before.
John, you can choose between number six.
I'm beaten, aren't I?
I know, but we'll go to the end.
Go on six then.
Six, song and artist. Here we go.
Get this.
Who's this?
George Harrison, My Sweet Lord.
Oh, well done.
Tell your wife. Quick off the mark. Oh, he's got one right. Final question. Liverpool beat Watford at Vicarage Road 3-0 earlier in the season. Who scored the Reds' second goal in the game, Sharpie?
No idea. I haven't. I'd guess it's Firmino or somebody other.
No. Do you remember?
Was Salah won it?
Trent Alexander-Arnold.
Oh, did he? Oh, when I got that one. Was that the free kick, wasn't it?
Oh,
that was a free kick, yeah.
Good win there for Sharpie. He's clawing
it back.
He's
clawing his way back, isn't he?
John Aldridge, 20. Graham Sharp, 18 now. Narrowing the gap somewhat. Have we got time for another caller? I think we have. I think we're just going to squeeze one last Everton caller in. Tony's our final guest on the Radio City Legends. Evening, Tony.
Evening, boys. You all right?
Hello, Tony.
All right. All right, Graham. You all right, John? Graham, I just think want to touch on the importance of us now. We've had our rest, we've had our break. We need to kick on and be beating the likes of Cardiff away, possibly Newcastle away, because of the home games. We've got a pretty daunting line. Obviously, we've got Liverpool, haven't we?
Yeah.
Liverpool, Chelsea, Arsenal, United. Damage in between that, we've got away games that we really should be winning. I mean, Cardiff have had the bounce back. with unfortunately, Salah, the loss of Salah.
Yeah.
In the plane accident, but I just think the way Watford took them apart.
Yeah,
but Friday night.
So, and you'd like to think so, but listen, as I said to one of the previous callers, the most important thing is you're right, we need to get back on track and starting with this and immaterial, which way I'm looking at it in a positive way rather than the negative way. They've got to be positive going down there. They've got to go down there, you know, and want to win and desire to win. Don't go down there afraid. Just go down there and play. And stand
up to football, are they? They're going to sign, just as you said before, they're just going to sign bully us.
Yeah.
And obviously, they're missing the ass, he can't play. So they're going to have a right back up front again. Is it Patterson?
Yeah, Patterson can't pass.
They're going to have Patterson up front. Jagielka, he's not a bad shout coming back. I mean, the last 10, was it that he came in the last 10 games of last season? And he was one of our best. One of our best defenders in the end.
Yeah, we need to get together as a group of players, and I just hope for the 17 days they've been working on on things and, well, and getting things together, and they need to go down there and put on a performance, you know.
Directly kicks into the box.
We've got to improve. It's for everybody to see, but it's not been good enough. The manager's come under pressure. It's not good enough.
He needs to start looking across what's happened at Leicester. I mean, if he starts losing games like that, I don't think. I'm not saying I want him stuck. Far from it. I don't want to be a stacking club. No way.
No, I just think, Tony, I just think at Leicester, the thing that went against Puel there is the fact that he lost the players. And I think...
That's another thing then. Yeah. Is he going to lose the Everton players? Because they keep asking, he's pushing, he's doing fisting on zonal mark. And it's clear it's not working.
Yeah.
In the end, the players will just go to no one.
Yeah.
And I don't want them to downfield.
No, definitely not.
I want them to play for them.
Yeah.
I want them to be strong tomorrow as well. I keep screaming when Gilfy gets knocked off the ball. He's strong enough sometimes on the ball. And there's other players getting bullied. Michael Keane sometimes gets bullied. Mm-hmm. To be fair, he is pretty strong.
Yeah.
I'm just worried tomorrow that it'll be more of a bully tactic from Warnock.
Well, it will be. Listen, and you know that, I know that. All the supporters going down there will know that as well. So you'd like to think the players will know it as well. So it's up to the players now. I've been saying it for weeks on end. You know, and the manager deserves the criticism he's getting because the team aren't winning games. But the players have got to show now, you know, the responsibility to go out there. And you've got... Listen, as we talk about it before, there's a derby on Sunday. Surely it hasn't changed from our day where everybody wanted to play in the derby. I like to think that is the case, so that if a team goes out against Cardiff, there you are. There's places on the line there. Show me you're good enough, you know, from between now and the end of the season to play in the derby, to play in the game, United, Chelsea, Arsenal, whoever we've got coming up. You show me that you deserve to be in this team. At this moment in time, and what we've witnessed in the last few months, there hasn't been many, you would say, are shooed in, nailed on to play. So they need to show the manager who deserves to play.
Tony, time's up. Thank you very much indeed. Some good points to finish with. Are you confident, quickly, about tomorrow's game?
Yeah, I would like to think so, yeah.
Yeah, and Liverpool with Watford, John. Watford, who were terrific on Friday night. So it's quite a test for the Reds at Anfield.
Do you know what? I'm not wholly convinced. Confidence. But hey, look, we've got to win. It's a must win. 100%.
Thank you, boys. Thank you very much indeed. Just a heads up on a great match of my life on Radio City Talk on Wednesday. Andy Gray will be my guest. See you tomorrow.